Welcome to the Project Versioning for VIPs Masterclass, built for drum and bass at 170 BPM, inside Ableton Live. This is intermediate level, so I'm assuming you already know your way around arrangement view, grouping, returns, and the basics of saving projects. Today we're sharpening something that quietly separates finishes tracks producers from as 38 almost finished ideas producers. We're talking VIPs, validations in production. That moment where you take a tune that already works, and you upgrade it. New drop energy, new bass phrasing, a jungle break flip, or just a smarter, heavier mix. But there's a trap. If your versioning is messy, you'll either overwrite the magic, or you'll drown in final 2 chaos, or you'll be scared to experiment because you can't roll back. So the goal of this lesson is simple. Build a clean, repeatable versioning system inside Ableton that lets you go wild creatively, without losing control. And because we're in 170 BPM DNB land, we'll focus on the reality of breaks, resampling, heavy processing, and the fact you might reopen these projects months later and still need everything to work. Alright, let's set the foundation first. Open Ableton, set your tempo to 170 BPM. Standard 4/4, unless you're doing something spicy. Now go into Preferences, Record, Warp, Launch. Turn Auto Warp Long Samples off. This matters in drum and bass, because breakbeats and long recordings get mangled by auto-warp decisions, and you don't want that surprise when you drag in an amen or a resampled bass line. In Preferences under File and Folder, make sure you know where your projects live and where your user library lives. And if you want an extra safety net, enable Collect Files on Export. That's optional, but helpful later when you're bouncing versions and moving things around. Here's the DNB mindset I want you to adopt. Your project should be self-contained. VIPs often happen long after the original tune. The fastest way to kill momentum is opening an old set and seeing half the samples missing. Now we build your bass project structure. This is the gold standard part. You're going to keep this consistent across all versions so every future save feels familiar. Create groups like this. A drums group, with tracks for kick, snare, hats or top, breaks, and perk. A bass group, with sub, mid-bass, and a re-essies or neuro layer if that's your flavor. A music group for pads or atmos, stabs or chords, and effects. A vocals group if you have them. Return tracks. One short reverb, one long reverb, a delay, and optionally a parallel distortion return. And finally a premaster group or bus. This is where your final routing lands before the master output, and it's a great place to meter and stay sane. If you want stock device anchors on drums, think drum bus, glue compressor, EQ8. On bass tools, think saturator, auto filter, dynamic tube, amp, multiband dynamics. And for FX, hybrid reverb and echo will get you ridiculously far. The point isn't that you must use these devices. The point is, your sessions should be predictable. VIP speed comes from not searching for where stuff is. Now, before you do anything creative, we do the single most important save of the entire workflow. File, save live set as. Name it like this. Artist, track name, 170, bass, V01. So something like, Kai Vault Runner 170 bass V01. This is your anchor. This is the known good. Every VIP branches from this. If you only implement one thing from this lesson, make it this. Never lose your anchor. Next, we're going to adopt a naming system that scales. Because final 2 isn't a system, it's an anxiety symptom. Here is the format. Artist track 170 type V#TAG. Type is what kind of version it is. Bass, VIP, mix, master, radio, dub, whatever categories make sense for you. The version number is always 2 digits V01, V02, V03. 2 digits keeps it neat and sortable. And TAG is a short human description of what changed. New drop, amen flip, subfix, darker, halftime, snare up. If you can't describe the change in one or two words, it's a sign you might be changing too many things at once. Examples: Kai Vault Runner 170 VIP V03 amen flip, or Kai Vault Runner 170 MIX V07 snare up. Now here's a rule I want you to follow like it's law. Every meaningful change equals a new version. Don't be brave, be organized. That means when you're about to do something risky, you save live set as again. You branch on purpose. Risky moments in DNB are things like replacing a drop with a jungle break section, resampling a bass and destroying it, rebuilding the mix around a new snare, or doing major arrangement surgery. Save as is, not admin. Save as is creative permission. You're basically telling yourself, go on, do the mad idea. You can always come back. Now, let's talk about the hidden killer, audio consistency across versions. If you're using lots of samples, break edits, resampled bass prints, or weird one-shots you found 3 months ago, you need to use Collect All and Save. Go to File, Collect All and Save. At minimum, collect files from elsewhere. And I strongly recommend collecting from your user library too, if you ever move between machines or you collaborate. DNB reality check. Break edits and resampled audio disappear. Not because you're cursed, but because the files were referenced from random folders. Collect early, collect often. Now let's shift from saving to actual VIP creation workflow, because versioning is only valuable if it supports fast arrangement changes. DNB arrangement is modular. Think in blocks. Intro, build, drop 1, breakdown, drop 2, outro. At 170, a common structure is intro 16 to 32 bars, build 8 to 16, drop 1 32, breakdown 16, drop 2 or VIP section 32 to 64, outro 16 to 32. Here's the workflow trick. Use locators aggressively. Label them intro, build, drop 1, break, drop 2 VIP, outro, and color code sections in the timeline. This isn't just for aesthetics. It's for decision-making speed. When you open a set later, your brain instantly knows where to go. Classic VIP trick that DJs actually love. Keep drop 1 identical to the original, and make drop 2 the VIP playground. Familiar first, surprise second. That's the trust then shock formula. Now, how do we make a VIP safely without wrecking your main drop? We're doing an arrangement first method. In arrangement view, select the entire drop 2 region across all tracks. Then duplicate time. That gives you a sandbox copy of that section. Immediately after duplicating, save live set as, name it something like, Artist Track 170 VIP V02 Drop 2 Sandbox. That's important. You don't want to do 40 minutes of changes, and only then realize you never branched the session. Make the branch first, then get creative. In this sandbox, you can swap breaks, change bass call and response, add an 8-bar halftime section, insert a fake out, or create a 1-bar silence into a brutal re-entry. Now, sometimes you want to /B ideas inside one live set before committing. That's optional, but it's powerful if you do it cleanly. Here is the method. Duplicate your bass group. Name one bass ARIG and another bass VIP. Mute one at a time and compare. But you must level match. Loud wins, even when it's worse. Put a utility at the end of each bass group and match perceived loudness. If one is hitting harder just because it's louder, you'll make the wrong call. Also, put a spectrum on the Promaster, not to mix with your eyes, but to catch obvious low-end differences when you switch between versions, especially in DNB, where one bass idea might be accidentally stealing 40 to 80 Hz and wrecking the punch. One warning. Don't keep both groups forever. /B, decide, commit, freeze and flatten the keeper, delete the rest, or branch the project. The longer you keep everything, the more fragile the set becomes. Now let's do a focused VIP workflow that's basically a rite of passage, resampling bass safely and reversibly. On your mid bass track, build a chain like this, EQ 8 first, with a high pass around 30 Hz to keep garbage out of the sub range. Then saturator, drive maybe 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on, then auto filter for movement, then amp for grid if you want it, then multiband dynamics, OTT style but not insane. Keep the amount around 10 to 25%. We're aiming for energy, not a melted waveform. Now create a new audio track called Bass Resample Print. Set audio from to your mid bass track, post effects. Arm the audio track and record a few passes of your bass phrases. And here's a teacher tip. Don't record just one pass. Record 3 to 5 passes with different character lanes. One pass clean and punchy. One more mid-forward with extra saturation. One noisy or top-heavy with distortion and filtering. One hollow or facey with a tiny bit of chorus or flanger. Then slice between them so the VIP feels like it has new phrases without you needing to design a whole new synth patch. After printing, save live set as again. Something like VIP V04 resample. Then chop the resample into new rhythms. Use simpler in slice mode to quickly re-trigger. That classic talking bass feel in DNB often comes from rhythm edits more than from the patch itself. Now let's separate two things that producers constantly confuse, VIP versions versus mix versions. A VIP is creative. Arrangement changes. Sound design changes. New drops. New grooves. A mix version is technical. Balance, EQ, dynamics, imaging, gain staging, translation. A master version is basically limiter and clipping decisions only, ideally. So don't tag a creative change as MIX. And don't do mixed tweaks inside a VIP branch unless it's necessary to audition the idea. If you mix inside every creative version, you'll lose track of what actually improved the tune. Ableton tip. Make a dedicated mix snapshot, something like MIX V01 static balance. Keep your master chain minimal while mixing. Utility for gain staging, maybe a Q8, and glue compressor doing 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction if you really want. Don't hide problems behind a limiter while you're still developing VIP ideas. Alright, quick section on the classic mistakes so you don't step on the landmines. Mistake 1. Overwriting the original project. That kills your reference, and it kills your confidence. Mistake 2. Not collecting files. Your future self opens the set and the breaks are missing. That's a motivation killer. Mistake 3. Version names that mean nothing. V12 is useless. Add a tag. Mistake 4. Trying to store every idea in one live set forever. CPU dies, routing gets weird, and decisions never happen. Mistake 5. No level matching when /B testing. Louder always sounds better, until it doesn't. Now let's add some pro-level workflow upgrades that make versioning even more useful. First, milestone saves versus experiment saves. A milestone is something you'd confidently send to a label or DJ. Stable CPU, clean routing, nothing missing. Tag it milestone. An experiment save is intentionally chaotic. Heavy resampling, weird racks, alternate drops, risky stuff. Tag it lab, rec, or try. This stops you from having 30 versions where everything feels equally important. You want a few milestones and a bunch of controlled experiments. Second, put a changelog inside the live set. Create a MIDI track named changelog. At bar 1, drop empty MIDI clips. Rename the clips with notes like V05 new snare layer +/-1.5 dB hats, or V06 drop 2 halftime bars 49 to 57. Months later, you'll open the set and instantly understand what happened, without playing detective across 60 tracks. Third, standardize your export decisions with an export preset. You want to export the same way every time so your /B comparisons are readable. Same sample rate. Normalize off, same dither settings when relevant. Otherwise, you'll think one version is better when it's just louder or processed differently on export. Fourth, georeference bounces for every serious version. Inside the project folder, create exports, then refs. This audio version is shortened for playback.